Hello and welcome to another edition of Living with Dying. I've come back today to the Green Acres Chiltern Living Memorial Park, where I've done interviews before and I've talked to bereaved people and I've talked to Dr. Bill Webster. But I've come today for a tour because it's a big place. I've just learned it's 72 acres. It's a beautiful wooded area. So Danny Cole is going to show me around. We're in a buggy because it's so big, so that we can cover lots of ground. But we've stopped to begin with at the gathering hall so that we can talk about what goes on in there. Danny, can you tell me what happens?
Sure. So this is our beautiful woodland hall. So we're actually around the back at the moment looking in, and this is the view that the people attending services will see when they're coming to a loved one's funeral. We do a mixture of cremation services, burial services, and some people choose just to do a memorial service. We only have three services a day, which is unlike most funeral venues and crematoriums. And there's an hour for each service, again, unlike most venues. And they also get an hour in between each service, so it's very unlikely that they would cross paths with another family, it feels private, it feels exclusive to them, so they get to spend time remembering their loved one. And the gathering hall is an area that is available to families half an hour before each service, and we put on teas and coffees, and there's toilets and a waiting area, and it's just a nice space to wait while you're waiting for the funeral party to arrive. They can also hire that for a wake, so it can all be done in one area. So you can have your service and then go back over to the gathering hall to then be able to have your wake and have your family and friends all in one place and not have to get back in cars and drive to another venue, which can be quite stressful on the day of the funeral.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning that you're here for burials and cremations, but yeah. You don't do cremations here.
We don't have a cremator on site, and I think that it's too much of a beautiful space for that, and obviously we wouldn't want to tarnish the woodlands with a cremator, so we do use a local crematorium, also us. So we would take the loved one by private ambulance to the crematorium, and then the ashes are returned and the family can either collect from us or directly from the funeral director will come and collect them for them.
But people can have a burial here.
Yeah, no absolutely. Problem. Yeah, burials. And they can also inter ashes. So we do inter ashes too. So I will show you more of the options as we drive around to what's available to families.
Well, let's have a look. Let's get going.
Yeah, let's get going. So we are just about to go through an area that we call Valley View. You'll see that the tree line is much higher, so lots of sunlight floods this area. It's Valley View because it sort of goes down into a valley, if you like. And within all of the woodland, you've got an option, like I said, to either full burials or inter ashes. So the first area I'm going to show you is what we would call a tree circle. So a tree is picked, so a burial tree is picked. So you can see that the one that's got the bench surrounding it, that is the burial tree. And how the interments work is the ash interments are a couple of feet away from the base of the tree, and that's because they don't do damage to the root system. Full burials are then on the outer circle, so they're further away from the tree roots, so they don't do any damage to the tree. And we look after the health of the tree, so we've got an amazing grounds team who not only are preparing and digging the graves, but they also are custodians of the woodland. They look after the land. They are looking after the tree health. They're looking out for any debris they'll clear away.
So those plots that you just talked about, they're all marked at the moment. Some of them with just a post and some of them with an actual label.
Yeah, it's completely the family's choice. Some people choose to just have the temporary marker that we put out. They may want to keep that because it's very natural and they just want it to go back to, you know, to nature. But we do allow a wooden marker, and it's wooden only. We don't allow any granite or any sort of headstones like that. And it's, you can choose which one you want and have whatever you would like inscripted on it.
And do people come back frequently? I'm actually looking at a lady currently at the moment wandering around with a dog.
I think that you will get people that may come back on specific anniversaries or dates, but you get other people that you become very friendly with because you see them on a weekly basis, sometimes more than once a week. You often find that people will lose someone and then often visit quite a few times after, and then maybe only come back for special occasions. So, you know, remembering their birthday or unfortunately the day that they passed. So yeah, we're just talking about the dogs. So we are happy to see dogs. We're all dog lovers here. So we get quite excited when we see them and all the different breeds. But all we ask is that people keep them on a lead just to be respectful and that they clear up any dog mess that's created.
Well, let's go on, shall we,
Yeah.
Danny? Where next?
So the next thing I would love to show you is a living memorial tree. So this is a living memorial tree. So you can have these either if you're interring ashes or a full burial. And what happens is an area of the woodland is picked by the family and a sapling tree is planted at the point of interment. So they get to choose different types of tree. We do only allow native species to the woodland, but there is quite a large array of choice. And on the day of the interment, the tree is planted and they get to watch the tree grow when they visit. So
That's
it's a,
wonderful.
yeah, it's a beautiful one. I think it's just about, oh, there's the dog now. Hi, how are
Hi
you?
there. That's a lovely thing to do for someone who's died because you can come back and visit the tree as
Yeah,
it
and I
gets
think
bigger
it's
and
about
bigger.
renewal and restoring the healing power of nature, really.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop here and just show you this beautiful area. So this is our orchard. So predominantly we are a woodland, but we have created an orchard area because we know that lots of people love to see fruit and nut trees grow, and these are the only
And
trees that we
blossom.
allow in here and blossom. And we've got apple trees up there. We've got all sorts of things up there. And I think that it's important to give people choice. And not everybody wants to be right in the woodland. So the grounds team created this area, and we get so many people who, when they come to visit us, and they talk about mum or nan liking to make jam and cakes and things like that. And we're like, we've got the perfect place for you. There's an apple tree at the back, and lots of people take those and then come back and say, I've made a crumble or I've made an apple pie. So it's again, it's that connection to the person that they've lost. So this is just on your right here is a private bay. So this is an option if a family so chooses to have an area that's sort of log lined and it's their space. And for example, this one here is a burial. So this is a full burial. So this actually has space for three burial plots, and all of our plots are double depth, so there is room for two interments. So for example, in this bay, there's actually room for six interments, six
Gosh,
burial
yes.
interments.
So that's for a whole, that's
That's for a
destined
whole
for a whole
family.
family. And it's
Absolutely.
called James's
That's
Place
correct. So,
because there's a wooden board which underneath James's Place says, "Come sit a while."
yeah. So the family has a choice of what they want it called and what they want written underneath, or they don't have to have anything if they'd like to just sort of be really natural. It's a
Very
beautiful
calm
space.
place for
I
a
don't know if you
sit.
can see that as well. They've also got a bird box.
Yes,
So
yes.
yeah, we cater for all the animals here. And then on our left, very exciting area that we love is our beehives. So we have
Oh.
beehives here producing honey, and we have a beekeeper come in. He has many beehives across the Chilterns, and I'm told by all the families who come in, because it's like gold dust, when he does give us some pots to sell to the families, it goes within about a week, and they say it's the best tasting honey. I think it's very pure, it's not full of any additives
Yeah.
or, and I don't know if it's where it is or it's next to the orchard, so they've got lots of fruit trees to pollinate on, but it's very, very
Yeah, you're
popular.
also quite a long way from main roads and things,
Yeah,
aren't you?
yeah.
So it's not going to be polluted.
So these are living memorial trees as well, but these are the burials. So we do these slightly
All right.
differently. So with the ash interment living memorial trees, the tree is planted at the time of the interment. With a burial, we have to let the first interment take place, and then 12 months later, they come back to plant the tree. And with the reason we leave it for 12 months is because the ground has to settle. And it has to, and we want the best time for the tree to be planted, so it's got, the best chance to survive and flourish. And then it also gives the families, I think, another ceremony, if you like, to come back and do that tree planting. Burials can be really challenging because it's an instantaneous decision that you have to make. The burial has to take place. When people choose to have cremations, the cremation service obviously has to happen straight away, but then when the ashes come back to you, you've got time to think about what you want to do and how you want to do it. So I think that you have got the element of time with ashes, whereas with burials, like we said, so having that tree option in a year's time, like perfectly put, that
Yeah.
gives them time to maybe say what they didn't get to say.
And get together again,
Yeah, get
warm.
together again. So as we move through the park, you'll start to see the canopy change. So where we've come from, sort of valley view, which is very high tree line, and there's lots of sunlight flooding through. As we move around the park, it becomes quite denser, and you'll get dappled sunlight, which is still as beautiful. And again, it's about having choice of where you like.
Yeah.
Just on your right here, we have our labyrinth. So this was designed and built by a grounds manager many years ago. And the idea behind it is, it's what we say is to take your worries into the circle. So you walk around, you pick up a stone, take it around the labyrinth into the middle, take your moment there to leave your worries or your sadness behind. And as you walk out, just to feel a sense of relief maybe. And obviously the children love running around it. So when they're visiting, whoever they're visiting, that gives the children somewhere to play and run around.
So it's like a maze in a way, but it marked out by slices of log.
That's correct, yeah.
Lovely.
So to our left is an area designated for our babies and children. Yeah, so it's a very private area where parents can come and sit and you know, it's an awful thing to be visiting, but unfortunately it is a part of life. And you can see all the bluebells are in there at the moment. It's beautiful. And the field they get to look over is... it's a beautiful view. It's just lovely up there. We've definitely picked a good day. The sun is glorious. So we're sort of making our way around the perimeter of the park, but there is lots of areas that people can choose to inter their loved one. It's whether you know, if you have mobility, accessibility access that you would need, you'd want to be close to one of these hard standing rides, but you can go right into the woodland where you really are very, very private.
So you could come and walk around, choose a spot, and then come back and ask if that's...
That's it, yeah. And that one of the team would always be on hand, and we would invite you in for an appointment. We would find out a little bit about you, about your loved one, what you're looking for, and we would show you areas of the woodlands that are available. And there's always quite a large portion of that's available. So you wouldn't have to, you know, it's not, oh, that's the only option. There's so many different. So on our left there, we've got one of our seasonal ponds. So we had a heron there the other day with lots of wildlife in there. We are making our way to an area called Duckwood. And Duckwood's a little bit off the beaten track, so it's not accessible by the buggy. It is a little bit of a walk, but if anybody ever does come to visit, especially around this time of the year, my advice would always be go and find Duckwood. It is absolutely beautiful. It's carpeted in bluebells at this time of the year. So we're going to take a walk up this pathway here. I don't know if you can see the clearing at the end. You're going to start to see the entrance of the bluebells. So we're going to take a little walk down there.
So now we're out of the buggy and we're walking towards the bluebells, and you can hear the trees rustling in the background now.
It is one of my favourite parts of the woodland up here. It's quite untouched because of the accessibility. We don't do full burials in this area of the woodland, because to be able to do full burials, we have to have hard standing and rides for the hearse to be able to get as close as possible, because you couldn't bear a coffin all the way down here. It's just too long.
Yeah.
But this area is available for ash interments, because you can carry the ashes. And it is just stunning. And I think because it's not untouched, because it's been untouched, it's just sort of been allowed to be as natural as possible. And we have the most beautiful English bluebells in this park. I don't know if you know much about bluebells, but they are a sign of an ancient woodland. Mm-hmm. And they can take 7 years to grow fully from seed to plant. And you have to be really careful and look after them, because if you damage them or ride over them or things like that, they won't grow back, or it will take a long time for them to grow back. But they only sort of pop out around about this time, and they'll sort of, once they're in full bloom, which they are now, they are here probably for a few weeks, and then they'll wilt down, and then once they've gone, all the foxgloves will come up.
Oh.
So there is always something of interest to look at when you come
stunning.
To the woodland. And this is just the very entrance, so...
Gosh. This is a real carpet.
And you can smell it.
Of bluebells, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can.
So, yeah, we get families that will call us and say, are the bluebells out yet? Are the bluebells out yet?
That's fabulous.
Because they want to come and see them. It just goes on for acres.
So I guess this is a popular place for people to come and visit.
It is a popular place. Like I said, people will ask for the timings of the bluebells.
But I was talking about just the general public who
yeah.
want to come and see the bluebells.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I can
so you
see
can
what you
see
mean.
It just goes on and on and on.
It?
Yeah,
it does.
It does.
Gosh, it's fabulous. Oh, that's lovely, Danny. Thank you for showing me that.
So I'm just going to go up to the top here to turn round. Okay, so we're right back at the top of the park. So we're going to go all the way back down to by the service halls to the ash gathering area, which is a choice for families that maybe don't want to memorialise, don't want to have a memorial marker, and just really want to let their loved one be back to nature.
Ah,
so we are going to go and have a little look at this area over here. So as you can see right in front of us, that's the curved bench with the obelisk. So because there is an option to memorialise the actual spot where the ashes are scattered, if the family would like to do so, they can have a marker on the obelisk.
Right. The bench goes around.
That's correct, yeah. So it's just somewhere for them to sit. So this is one of the scattering areas. And then what will happen on the day that the family decide to scatter the ashes is one of our team, the grounds member, will come down with them. And they can choose anywhere within this sort of valley area, anywhere they like. And the grounds will prepare the ground. So they will scrape back a sort of an amount of the soil. The ashes are scattered either by the team member if the family don't feel comfortable to do so, or their family are more than welcome to do it themselves. And then the earth is just replaced over. And they can lay fresh flowers. All we ask is that all the plastic and things are removed, just so, as we keep talking about the wildlife, they don't damage those. And you'll see quite a few bird boxes are scattered around here. So, and we used to have some bug hotels and things like that as well.
Yes, I've seen a bug hotel behind.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely little sort of dell, isn't it, really?
That's it. So there's three of them. So this is the main one that we use. And then there's two further back through the bluebells. And this oak is probably one of the biggest and probably one of the oldest that we have within the woodland. Had a little bit of lightning damage. So she's not looking her best, but she is a beauty.
It's a very old, lovely, gnarly tree.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the quietness. You'll see as we've gone around, there's people and you might not even notice them. But as we've been driving around, there's been people sitting and visiting and you just don't clash with anyone else, and you've just got your own space and private time. But if you do want to come and speak to us, just pop into the office, we'll make you a cup of tea. If you just want to spend a little bit of time before you go back in your car and go home. But another area that's carpeted in bluebells.
Yes, beautiful. I can see that it's very appealing. I like the idea of thinking that somebody could just rest here forever.
That's it. Be at one with nature. So the other place we're going to show you is our new communal garden, which is just located back closer to the reception. And the reason we chose that area was because we found that we have a lot of people that want to come and, like we said, have accessibility needs. And it can be tricky coming all the way into the woodland. Mm. So the grounds manager designed an area that is, one, not only beautiful, but two, a bit more accessible for people that maybe are less able or even in a wheelchair. And we're going to show you that now. So this area is our communal garden. We called it Nature's Corner. And the reasoning behind that is obviously it's on the corner of the land here, and it has really been made with nature in mind. So the grounds team have chosen native plants that particularly attract butterflies, bumblebees, all the sorts of amazing British wildlife. And what our grounds manager tried to do was bring all elements of the woodland into this area, so people that may not be able to access it all can here. Some of the trees he's chosen were for specific reasons. So he's chosen spindle trees, and High Wycombe, which is our closest town, has actually got a real big furniture making heritage.
Famous for
chairs. Spindle trees were what they were made out of because of the straight branches. So that's how they would have made furniture out of them. So, you know, he wanted to bring a bit of that. The other one that we really love is a checkers tree. So it's a service tree, a wild service tree, should I say. And the fruit it produces are called checkers. And they used to ferment it and make ale or beer. And that's why lots of the pubs around here were called checkers.
Oh, really?
So, so it's quite a coup because they're not often found in woodlands. And he's hoping that it's going to flourish here.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful space. And people are able to inter ashes. So you can see here, this is somebody who is due to inter their loved one. And they'll be loose poured into the ground. But again, it's a double depth plot, so there's room for two people.
Well, yet another lovely spot to come and sit and contemplate.
Beautiful spot. Really?
So that was Danny Cole, the park manager, showing me around this beautiful place. And now I've come indoors with Becky James, who's the business manager of the whole Green Acres Children Memorial Park setup. You've got more than one of these, have you, Becky?
We have. We've got six sites across the UK. So we have one in St Helens, which is the furthest north. So that's just outside Liverpool. And then we have one in Norwich. Then we have one in Essex, in North Weald. We have one in Hampshire, Heatherley Park, which is near Greyshot. We have one down in Chislehurst in Kent, which is called Kemnal Park. So four around the M25 and then two others.
So are you aiming to cover the whole country?
Oh, we'd love to. That would be amazing.
But you have to find a huge, lovely woodland area, yes, like this to begin with, presumably. And I guess they're a bit limited, are they?
Absolutely. So we have around 300 acres of woodland and parkland within the six sites. And all of them have similar experiences that Danny offers here. So woodlands, orchards, lawns, meadows. So you haven't seen a meadow here, but a couple of our sites have got absolutely beautiful meadows. They can be beautiful experiences for people who want something a little bit more open. And then in the summertime, we'll cut pathways through those so that people can sit and, you know, there's lots of lovely benches so people can sit and contemplate and reflect in those areas.
Wildflowers.
Exactly, wildflowers. They're beautiful, absolutely spectacular.
So is this a coming trend for people, rather than going to the old-fashioned kind of burial ground?
I think that what we offer is an antidote to the busy lives that we have, and somewhere that you want to come back to. Many people find cemeteries quite sad, dour places to be, particularly when the colours are very grey with rows and rows of headstones, and perhaps that's not something that's very uplifting for everybody. Whereas, as you've just experienced coming through the parkland, you don't really know that you're in a cemetery, and it feels very beautiful, and it's that healing power of nature that people can experience as part of their bereavement journey. And I mean, we know that we can't ever replace the loss of somebody's loved one, but we can certainly provide a beautiful space to help them through that journey to find joy in life.
And do you find most of the people who come and walk around are coming to visit a loved one, or are you finding that many members of the general public come just as often?
I think it's a mixture. We have some of our sites have public footpaths that cross them, so therefore we often get lots of dog walkers coming in because they're such beautiful spaces to walk around. And we try to hold community events, and we try to provide events where people can come along to these spaces so that they understand what happens here, and so that we're hopefully taking away the fear of death and dying, and, you know, to make it something that's part of a community, hence the Living Memorial Park's name. We want them to be spaces that people come and visit, not just because they have a loved one here. And we never want to take away from that dignity and respect and reverence that happens in these places, because it is somebody's loved one's final resting place. But it doesn't mean to say that it can't be part of a community and a space where people come and visit. Last year, for example, at the end of the summer in September, our park in Essex, which is in North Weald, Epping, they held a community day, and in their courtyard area, they had local performers come and sing. They had wood carvers come and demonstrate their amazing talent in carving. They had local craft people come and sell their wares. They had over 1,000 people came to the day, which is an amazing accolade of how strongly they've been trying to build their community presence, because that's what we want, is to be part of a local community and for people to feel that we're a safe space to come and share many different times.
And I've been here to the bereavement cafe that's run here. Mm-hmm. Do you run those across all the...
We do. So on our website, which is www.greenacresgroup.co.uk, if you go to the events page, you can find all the information of the bereavement cafes. So they run on different Saturdays across all six sites every month of the year. And they have become a really, really important part of our community engagement. Those are open to anybody, regardless of whether you've had a service with Greenacres. We advertise them through lots of different partners across the communities around the parks. And they are attended by a complete split, people who have connection with the park and people who don't. And we have some wonderful stories of people who've forged their own friendships through coming to the bereavement group because they have found somebody who understands how they're feeling. And it's provided a kind of a way that they can stop feeling so isolated and lonely, and also to, you know, create a new community in the new life that they've got to build for themselves once they've lost somebody.
And it's a way of letting people talk about what they've lost, who they've lost, and talk
Absolutely.
About their... I know they're not exclusively talking about grief and death and dying, because I've witnessed them and I know they talk about all sorts of things, but it does give people the opportunity to talk about their grief in a very safe space, doesn't it? And
Yes.
we don't get that very often in life.
We don't. There is a fear in the British culture of talking about death and dying, and even mentioning the name of somebody's loved one. People are worried about upsetting somebody. So yeah, it has become a beautiful experience to watch those groups grow and flourish in our local communities. And we're very proud of that as a company.
Becky, thank you ever so much for talking to me, and thanks to Danny for showing me around, and I'm going to come back and walk amongst the bluebells.
Oh, thank you, Dillis, and I hope it encourages lots of people to just come back and visit us.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.